You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley. You could have been crammed inside the stadium.
Hello everyone and welcome to episode 23 of Ravens Weekly, the official Bromley FC podcast, proudly supported by our friends at Crown Ash Developments. As ever, I'm joined by Cookie.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hello everyone.
Apologies for any noise you might hear in the background. We're doing this in the shadow of the fantastic new South Stand, which is coming on incredibly well behind us.
Looking fantastic, isn't it?
What have we got coming up on this week's show, guys?
Coming up on tonight's show, we are going to catch up with the review from the Dover game.
We are indeed. We're going to have a chat about the Bromley ladies and how they've been doing recently.
Riverside School was down, so Matt, you're going to be talking us through the first session.
Absolutely. We're going to hear from Adam Mecky as well on last week's game.
We've got the race night coming up for Bromley in February.
We're going to chat about a couple of other community bits.
And we've got some updates on the stock in the club shop.
We're going to have an academy update and an under 23 update as well.
And we've got to discuss the Eastleigh game and Reece Meekham's going on loan again.
Fantastic, brilliant. Thank you very much, guys. As you alluded to there, I think we're going to start with the Dover game. Obviously, quite a feisty affair.
Always is, I think, with them, isn't it?
Yeah, saying that, I think it was the same. What was it? Was it August 18? Was it last time?
Yeah, we played them
at home, wasn't it?
Them
home here. Game, yeah. Something happened there as well. Matt, you were on hand providing the Twitter updates for the day. I don't think they let us audio commentate as usual, but you were on hand doing a Twitter update and you provide us with this full-time audio summary.
So, full-time here at Crabble, Dover Athletic 1, Bromley 1. A bit of a mad game, to be honest with you. First half, Dover going 1-0 up through Kevin Locko, just under the half-hour mark. And then Bromley equalising Adam Mecky about 9 minutes later. Before that, both sides had chances to win, and it was George Porter who hit the post with a shot from just outside the box. Was probably the best chance of the two sides. That said, Dover probably dominated the first half and were the better side. Second half, a completely bizarre one. It's not one you see very often. Two players getting sent off for the opposition in the same incident. Kevin Locko, the goal scorer, and Bedsensi Gomez both getting sent off after a scuffle in the penalty area. Jack Holland went to ground, and he's not a player who goes down very often at all. So he's obviously an honest player, and he's gone down due to being struck, it seems. But we'll have to look at the video again to get a better idea of what happened there. After that, really, obviously Dover having nine men, put nine men behind the ball, and really it was attack v defence, and obviously the attack being in Bromley's favour. But unfortunately, we were unable to break through what was a resilient nine men of Dover. We seemed to be playing some very nice, neat football, but we just couldn't have that incisive touch. We didn't shoot enough, which is what Neil Smith just said in his interview as well. And unfortunately, it just wasn't meant to be. I don't feel we tested the keeper enough in the dying minutes, especially there was 10 minutes of added time. So we had considerable amount with a two-man advantage. And it does feel like 2 points dropped. However, we continue our unbeaten and run. It's a first away game of 2019. It's not ended in defeat. This is a tough place to come against a side that are in good form as well. So we take a point and we move on to Eastleigh.
Thanks for that, Matt. Obviously, summed up pretty well there, but I think there's a few updates since full time.
Yeah, it was an eventful game to say the least, and those two sending offs obviously happening very close to each other. Gomez, I think everyone will know, is just undefendable, really, with the headbutt that has not been appealed. However, the Kevin Locko one was appealed by Dover, and actually they were successful, so that one's been overturned.
Yeah, in terms of that, both clubs have been charged with.
Surrounding the referee. Yeah.
So we don't know. We'll obviously reply to that response. So we'll wait to see what comes back from the FA regarding that. But yeah, like you said, summed up pretty well. Obviously, not the win, but the unbeaten run continues.
That's right. Yeah, it was frustrating in one respect. Obviously, playing against nine men for around 30 minutes, with the amount of possession we had, we should have turned it into a goal. No excuses for that. We should have had more shots. But you know, you look at it. On the other hand, clubs have played against 9-10 men before and lost, and it's not easy to play against 8-9 men behind the ball either.
And Cookie, you with it?
Yeah, I think with the 9 men thing just coming in on that chat, obviously we should have scored. They've got two less players. However, I think with that, 9 players out on the field become defenders for Dover, don't they? And they just stuck behind the ball. People that were there will know. We was all over them. I think they had one sort of like attacking the sort of like right in the last minute, I think. But apart from that, just 9 behind the ball, just kept pushing the ball and trying to work it into the box and couldn't get anywhere.
I think Neil alludes to his interview. Do enough to maybe get him behind, actually get those shots away. Matt, you managed to catch up with him at the end of the game.
Neil, a point away from home, but a bit of a bizarre game in truth.
Yeah, it was very difficult. I thought first half, I think they just shaded it, especially early on in the game. I think we got back into it, obviously, to go a goal down and then Mekki to equalise. And we're just like, you know, it looked like we hadn't had a game last Saturday, you know, through the cancellation of the FA Trophy, and it just looked like we probably missed out. We got going again a little bit, and then obviously the sending offs in a bizarre situation. And I just said to the boys in there, you know, you don't get these opportunities to go and play at Dover away against 9 men. We didn't have enough shots. We weren't direct enough in the end, and I think it's a wasted chance. But full credit to Dover, they defended right on the 18-yard box, threw themselves in the way of things. But I think you know, we're a bit better than that. But if you get that chance, you got to take it.
And it was shaping up to be a feisty game, wasn't it? And it was that way.
Yeah, it's a derby. Everybody knows each other. You know, I know Hess, I played with him, so I know the type of player he was and what he does with his teams. You know, they're fully committed. Likewise, so am I. And I thought they just edged that side of it early on. But as I say, when you come back 1-1, when you haven't played or started well, you think, right, this second half is be the Bromley that we've been for the last few weeks. It just didn't happen. And then, as I say, when you get that glorious opportunity to play against 9 men, you've got to do better, I believe. I think you've got to move it quicker, but you've actually got to move it across and then get down the sides of them and get crosses in. But it's a learning curve for our players. You know, I don't think it'll ever happen again, but if it does, then hopefully we're ready for it.
Like you alluded to, they're obviously only testing the goalkeeper once, perhaps in injury time. Maybe could have done a little bit more in that respect.
Yeah, 100%. It was great that we were moving them around, but at some stage someone's got to go, I'm going to have a shot, I'm going to put a cross in, who's going to get on the end of it? You know, Mekki had his chance that he should have done better with. You know, we're just saying in there, he said, I should have scored 4, and he should have, you know, at the far post when he comes sliding in. Brins had the shot and the keeper saves it, but it wasn't enough. You know, as I say, yeah, you've got to be patient, but no, I'm one of them. Be patient to get down the side and get the ball in the box, you know, because people could make a mistake. As it was, we were just playing in front of 8 players all the time.
And it is a point, and we maintain quite a long unbeaten run now.
Yeah, no, so that's the plus. You know, before the game, you're going to a Dover that are, you know, that are hitting form like we are. We knew it was going to be difficult. We were unbeaten, but I think we're better than that. I think the last few weeks, we've been really, really good and on song. And as I say, maybe not playing on the Saturday might just have stalled a bit of the momentum. But full credit to the boys. They're disappointed in there, but we go again against a very good Eastleigh side at the moment that obviously had a good win today. So it's no, you know, Ben Stremmons, I know again. We know it's going to be a tough game. We're at home. We need the supporters to get behind us and hopefully carry this run on.
Yeah, thank you.
Frustrated Neil Smith there. Later in the podcast, first up, we're going to move on to the Bromley ladies. The ladies have played at Hayes Lane for the last 2 weekends, if I recall.
Yeah, it's been a good omen for them, I think. They played Wandsworth last week and they won 6-0. Fantastic performance there. And then obviously last weekend, just gone, they got the pitch again and they managed to pick up a 3-1 win against Maidstone United, which is always good to get one over on your local rivals there, isn't it? So 2 wins in 2 weeks, and the pitch is a good omen for them, I think.
Fantastic. Happy days. Obviously, they're over on Twitter. Is it at Bromley Ladies FC?
Yeah, that's the one.
That's it. They're in the Greater London Women's League, aren't they?
Yes.
Moving on, community scheme. For some of you who aren't aware or are aware, the club's community scheme has had a big relaunch this year with the support of the National League Trust and the £25,000 support provided by the National League Trust, along with some very proud community sponsors that we're very lucky to have at the football club. We've obviously got a hell of a lot going on at the moment, Matt, haven't we?
We have indeed. Yeah, obviously we've discussed the girls' soccer school and other bits as well, the Bromley Bells, of course, in previous episodes. But one thing that we launched last week, or this week just gone actually, is the partnership with Riverside School, which, for those of you that don't know, is a specialist school for children aged 4 upwards, right through to 19. My brother went there, so personally there's a connection with the school as well. It's a really special place. They've got two sites, one in Beckenham and one in Orpington. It's been really great to partner with them. And what we're doing at the moment is we're helping to enhance their PE provisions and PE curriculum by allowing them to use our facilities on a weekly basis. On a Wednesday morning, they come along in their minibuses and they have a weekly session with a qualified coach on our fantastic 3G facility. And the feedback from the first session was absolutely amazing.
No, it's brilliant. I think you've got a piece up on the website at the moment regarding
yes,
it. And there's
that's
a short
right,
little
yeah.
video there as well, which is mm-hmm. fantastic, because I tell you what, I know it's their first one and I know they're extremely excited, but blimey, it was freezing cold.
Oh, I couldn't feel my hands when I was watching it. It was must have been sub-zero up there in the first few minutes. Just a little comment from Steve Day, who's the PE coordinator at Riverside. Our first session at Bromley was truly sensational and the students loved it. The scheme underlines how important community relationships are and how vital the funding from the National League Trust really is. With the support of Bromley FC and the National League Trust, it will help us to continue transforming the lives of our children and families. For those involved with Riverside School, the students, the families and staff, we are truly grateful that this scheme has been set up and we look forward to a bright future.
No, fantastic. It's often used as a cliche, etc., about the whole power of football and what all it can do to people's lives, but it's fantastic to actually see it firsthand and be a part of that. A big well done to you, Matt, and to obviously everyone involved. And again, a big thank you to those companies who are supporting the community scheme at the moment. Mm. Obviously, Rodin Marketing in there. I think we've got Langford, Russell, if we were the youth.
Max Properties.
Mm. The list goes on. I'm going to get in trouble now for getting a few. you know who you are, and it's greatly appreciated by everyone here at the football club. Matt, you managed to catch up with Adam Mecky, I think, this week. Mm. But before we go on to that, Cook, we've got some more stock in the club shop.
We do indeed.
Sorry, I jumped there. I know it wasn't a miss.
No, that's fine. The hats are back in stock. So we know the
These
bobble
are the
hats.
New bobble ones. They sold out last time
as well.
Yeah, so we sold out pretty quick with the last lot. We got a few in to see how they would go. They went like hotcakes. So we got a few in more. Some of the same.
Didn't order enough, apparently.
we had ordered the one with the gold ring around the top. This time we've got some more of them. So if you prefer that one, you can go and buy that. Also, we've got some. Instead of the gold, it's now red top. Preference.
Very stylish.
Yes, so choose. And tomorrow and the next couple of weeks, be steady east and all
they're
that.
They're going to be available for pre-order on the website tonight as well, for those who want to pre-order them and pick them up tomorrow.
Yeah.
So that'll be good, because like I said last time, actually, was it two home games that were sold out?
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. And obviously, just to touch on that as well, we've got the new, well, not new now, obviously, this current season replica kits. Obviously, we sold out of a few sizes, so we've now got every colour in every size, but obviously stock is limited. So if you are looking for your shirt from this season, go in and grab a bargain with Jim Brown.
And again, they're back on the website as well.
They are indeed, yeah.
Online club shop, fantastic. What do we call it? Click and collect?
Clicking.
Yeah, love that.
Like supermarket.
Well. Like Argos. as referred to earlier, obviously Eastleigh up next this Saturday at Hayes Lane. Matt, I think ahead of this game, you managed to catch up with Adam Mecky.
It's 10 for 11th, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Six points gap after our draw the other day.
And they won. Got a late winner against Eastleigh, so yeah. Against Sutton. Sorry. Eastleigh got a late winner against Sutton. Yeah.
Matt made a mistake. It's normally me.
It's first time for everything.
No.
Fantastic. But I think before we listen to the interview, obviously, Matt, a bit of a up and down season for Adam Mecky so far.
Yeah, it has been. Obviously, pre-season didn't go to plan for him. He got quite a bad injury in the match away to Glebe. I seem to remember about half an hour and he went down. And that kept him out for a considerable amount of time. He then came back. I think he made his comeback on the Salford game and actually got sent off in that game, and that was a straight red card, so obviously that was a 3-game ban as well. So that obviously slowed his progress. But recently, after another knock, I think he's really come back into form, and he's one of the first names on the team sheet at the minute. He's been absolutely sensational in recent weeks, and he got a goal that he really richly deserves away at Dover, obviously. And yeah, here's what he had to say about it.
You meant to him, couldn't you? Just interrupting there. See how much that got.
Yeah, you completely ruined that, but yeah, go on.
All right, come back at me, Mr. Mistake. But no, it was sensational. You see how much that goal meant to him. He's been here, this is his second season. He grows, in my opinion. He's such a fantastic player. So it's good to see.
And as Matt referred to earlier, here's what he had to say.
Adam, it was a bit of a frustrating result, perhaps, on Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd said to us before the game, would you take a point? You know, a team it very much in form, and it's a tough place to go. We probably would have taken your hand off it, but given the way the game sort of panned out, it came off disappointing just to come away with a point.
And it felt like we were playing lots of nice build-up play and just no end product at the end of it, unfortunately, towards the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, with them going down to nine men, I think over the last half an hour of the game, we dominated possession, and we weren't really worried about them scoring. It was a case of us sort of putting the ball in the back of the net, and it just, you know, sometimes things have fallen to us in games. But obviously, on Saturday, it was difficult for us, and they stuck eight men behind the ball, nine men behind the ball, and just defended for their lives, and it was hard for us to break them down. And so, yeah, I know, obviously disappointing to come away with only a point, but you know, it's a point on the board at the end of the day, and we keep the unbeaten run going.
A great performance from you, and a goal against your former club as well. You must be pleased with that.
Yeah, I mean, it was nice. You know, it's been a long time coming. Obviously, been a bit of a stop-start season for me so far, but I'm glad to, you know, getting the run of games under my belt, and it was good to get off the mark. I mean, obviously, it would have been nice to sort of stick two or three away, which I did have a few opportunities to do, but you know, happy to get a goal and happy to get a point.
And obviously, you did mention that you did have a slightly delayed start to the season because of an injury during pre-season, but you seem to have settled into the side now and playing really good football.
Yeah, it was, you know, the first few months have been really tough for me, and missing out on a few games and coming back, and then the team not doing so well and myself personally not doing great, but you know, but now sort of come into a bit of run of form, and the team are doing really well, and it's a real pleasure to be in the team, and really enjoying my place there.
And obviously we host Eastleigh on Saturday, a side that are near us in the table. We know about them, we know their strengths. Good team, a good result last week, they'll be full of confidence just like us.
Yeah, and hopefully we can keep the run that we've had at home going. You know, they're doing well, and they're only a few points ahead of us, and I think we can close the gap if we win. So it's a massive game, and if we win Saturday, it will start sort of setting us into the right direction of climbing the table and catching teams ahead of us.
Adam, thank you.
Thank you.
Matt, always good to hear from Adam Mecky. Just moving on, we're going to discuss the February half-term soccer school that returns this February.
Indeed, yeah, soccer camp is back this February half term. That's Monday the 18th of February to Friday the 22nd. It's every day, but you don't have to book for all five. You can book for as many as you like. The prices are very, very reasonable, may I add.
£17
a day, or £75 if you book for the week. That's school hours, 9 till 3. And not only is your child being looked after by qualified coaches, it's a safe environment, it's a fun environment. They're keeping fit, they're engaging with other children, they're learning from Bromley Academy and Bromley Youth Academy coaches.
I think that's what's
fantastic.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt, mate. I think that's what's different now, isn't it? I mean, I think in the summer holidays, there's so many children out there now that will just have a break from school and they're going on their tablets or iPads or PlayStation and that. Get them out. I know the weather's not great, but they can socialise, make friends. They can play football every day.
And it's
day.
The beauty of all weather pitches, isn't it, as well?
And you never know. If they turn pro, they could pay you back, buy you a house, buy you a nice car. You never know. If I would have had a soccer school when I was a younger man, I don't think I would have been as big as I am. I think I could have been a pro footballer.
You and me both. Deadly duo, eh?
Exactly.
And not only that, speaking of professionals, the real professionals now, they'll obviously get to meet the first team players who do pop in and watch the sessions and come and say hello. And to see the looks on the kids' faces is amazing when the first team come in and Neil come and says hello and brings out the medals at the end of the week and such. It's a really special club, and things like that just really showcase that. And we're really looking forward to it. If you like to put your child on, as I said, the price is very reasonable. Ages 4 and upwards, go over to bromleyfc.co.uk, hover over the soccer school, it's a drop down menu, click for every half term, and register your child on there.
Fantastic. And talking of other events that's happening in February, after the game against Maidstone on the 16th of February,
yeah.
We've only got one home game in February, so we thought we'd do something special with it, and we decided to do a race night. So we've done one before, it was a big success, and what you can do, you can buy a horse for £10, you can buy a jockey for £5, you get to name the horse, name the jockey, and also you get to maybe earn a little bit of money, little drinks kitty if you win the race. You see Jackie behind the bar, so that you can do it online, I believe, Matt. So
you can. Yeah, so if you go to our website, there is an article called Players and Supporters Race Night. Just click on it, whack in your details in the form, and you will be all registered. And if you're at the game tomorrow, if you prefer, like you say, Cookie, you can go and see Jackie behind the bar. She's got a little form that you can fill in by hand and book your horse there. Speaking of which, I've already done mine. How about you?
I've done mine as well.
Fantastic. I look forward to it.
Perfect. And also, it gives you a chance to socialise and get to know the players a bit more, doesn't it?
It was a really nice atmosphere last time, I think, obviously popping in and out due to post-match work, etc. It was really nice, you know, obviously everyone's together in the Ravens Bar. Players come in, be a part of it, which is really nice, the management as well. And it's great for the fans to be able to catch up with the players, especially after a game, hopefully, talking about what a fantastic win we've just had.
Yeah, fingers crossed, it's a local derby, that
it
one.
Is.
So, yeah, it will be exciting and interesting. Sorry, just distracted by a bit of work going on the pitch over there on the newsstand. So yeah, that's that done, Matt. And what we're going to discuss next now?
We're going to talk about Rhys Meekums, who's been with us a short time now since coming back from his loan at Worthing. Obviously signed for Brighton in the summer. He's still young, he's 19 years old, only just played very well in pre-season, had a couple of good games at the start of the season as well. I find it tough to get into the side and adapt to football at this level, but he's still very young, he's still learning. He's going to be going to Eastbourne Borough on a short-term loan, so he'll be with them from tomorrow onwards, effectively, for a month.
So Worthing in the league, in the Roman Premier?
They are, yes, yeah, and that's so, his ex-club as well,
yeah,
Worthing.
So he went back there, but then obviously he's going to progress into Conference South football.
That's
so
right, yeah.
We know what he's capable of, and we know how good he's been for us when he's come on. I think it's just getting minutes for him, isn't it?
That's
getting
right,
experience,
yeah.
And why not do it at Conference South level? A few players have gone to Eastbourne Borough now. They're on a good run. It's a good club. A few players have gone there and done well. So that relationship with Eastbourne at the Borough at the moment seems to be very good, and they obviously think highly of us to go to us for another player, and they have, and I think Rhys Meekums can have a good chance to shine there as well.
Absolutely, and it's obviously a 3G pitch like we've got, so it should have no impact to his game whatsoever. And yeah, an opportunity for him to go out and play some football, and yeah, good luck to him, and we look forward to seeing him back in a Bromley shirt very soon.
Perfect. Well, on to that, we're pressing on, Matt, so why don't we continue? What's next? You're going to talk us through the School of the Day now.
Yes, so School of the Day is a new initiative that we've introduced on the community side of the club. And we had our first one with Riverside School earlier this season at the Barrow game. This is going to be our first one with a mainstream school, and that's Highfield Junior and Highfield Infant Schools. Those of you who might remember, we actually paid a visit to Highfield School back in December, where the players, and it was honestly such a heartwarming event. We did an assembly where I had to talk in front of everyone, which, to be fair, I used to.
I am used to,
and I used to do it in a school, but not that school, which was great. And the kids all had questions for the players. It was amazing. And then we went outside, and they did sessions with the girls' team and the boys' team, and it was just amazing how much the players were getting into it. Players like Luke Coulson, George Porter coming up to me, telling me, when can we do this again? This is brilliant. We should be doing more of this. And that's what we are trying to do, and it's a work in progress. And we're really pleased to welcome them down tomorrow. They're going to have a Q&A with one of our players before the game. They're going to obviously all be able to watch the game with their teachers and families. We're going to get some photos on the pitch with them. They're going to be in our match day program. They're going to be made to feel really special and hopefully come back and leave the game being avid Bromley supporters. What we'll say as well is, if you are involved in a school, a local school in any way, and you'd like to get them involved in our School of the Day initiative, you can drop me an email, matt@bromleyfc.co.uk.
Okay, giving out your work email address there, Matt.
You could, very professional as ever.
No, that's brilliant. Moving on now, let's discuss Eastleigh. This podcast, we're making good time. I think now's the time to talk about Eastleigh. 10th v 11th.
Talk Eastleigh to me.
So
it is.
10th v 11th is what I know. just nicked a win the other day. So yeah, it's a 6-point gap there. They're on 46, we're on 40. We're on a good run.
We're breathing down their necks, aren't we? I think is the phrase to use. And obviously, like you allude to there, they have. Yeah, they have. I think I can't actually remember the last time we beat them. So it'll be nice to get one over on them. Obviously, last season with that 4-all draw, we were ever so close to getting the 3 points.
Yeah, we down, was, but down at don't the Silver forget, Lake. We were 2-0 down, like within like 10
yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, I know. We thought, blimey, what's going on here?
But we've had the results. I think the last result, correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's, what was it, 2012, 2013?
It's a long time, yeah. And it's time now to put that right. Obviously, very close together in the table. We don't want that lead going up to 9 points, obviously, or even 7. We want to get that win tomorrow and close the gap. And obviously, Adam Mecky alludes to it there. That's what everyone's focus is. They're a good side, and like you allude to, they beat Sutton last week 3-2 with a late winner from Ben Williamson. Yeah, we did it. Yeah, that's right, on the telly as well. But yeah, they're in okay form. I'm just going to get their form guide up in front of me.
It's been a bit up and down, hasn't it?
It has, yeah. So in their last 5 games, they've won 2. They've lost 2 and they've drawn 1. And those wins were against Havant and Waterlooville and Sutton, as I just mentioned. They lost 4-1 to Solihull away, who are doing really well, as we know, and 3-0 to Ebbsfleet, another side in great form. And they were 2-0 up away to Havant and Waterlooville with 10 minutes to go and ended up drawing 2-2. So obviously, Cookie, a side like us in good form, we're on home, I would say soil. We're on home grounds tomorrow.
Home sand, home and, rubber.
Astro. home 3G. So what are you feeling about this one?
Oh, it's difficult. I know people will go, oh, we can't even beat 9 men. And I, it's like I said earlier in the podcast, Matt, I think you've got that thing is when you're down to 9 men, goalkeeper included, everyone's going to defend. You're not going to attack. You're going to look to consolidate the point that you've got. We wasn't leading. But you are. That's what you're doing. You're there just to see out the game and throw every single man beyond the ball and stop anyone making their way and trying to score. They did that very well. Don't forget, obviously, Dover, since Andy Hessenthaler went back down there, they're on a good run as well. There was two informed teams. We're still up there as one of the informed teams. As my phone's going off, we keep recording. But you know what? I think that we can get something. I think home soil, I think the crowd behind us. Why don't we? Why can't we have the chance to break this duct and finally get a win over these guys?
So, players to look out for, obviously, Ben Williamson being one fresh in Bromley fans' memories, having spent part of pre-season with us at the beginning of last year, scoring a couple of goals for us as well, and then turned up the next week playing for Eastleigh against us, which was a bit of a surreal situation, but he's doing very well for them. He got their late winner against Sutton last week.
He wasn't in their team a few months ago.
No.
Shows the change there.
But Paul McCallum as well, I believe their top scorer at the minute. Really good player, ex-Leighton Orient, and he's in amongst the goals for sure this season. Big centre forward who will be looking to do a job tomorrow. So hopefully we can keep those two threats away and all the others as well.
Yeah, that's it. And obviously, people will know Sam Wood was at the start of the season, and we managed to pick him up. So it'll be good to see him in form and obviously show that what he's missing, he'd be able to show them what they're missing.
That's right. Yeah,
that's what I was trying to say.
We got there.
it's going to be an exciting show. I think it's a team where we stand a better chance than we have in recent years for them. So let's see how we do. But Matt, prediction for the score?
I'm going to go with a 2-1 victory to Bromley.
I was going to go 2-1 as well.
Are you?
So now I have to go 3-1 Bromley.
Well, what we're also going to do is, how many you reckon?
So I'm thinking crowd-wise, well, hopefully everyone will come. Hopefully everyone's available. Mm. Brave the elements. Come and get a new hat. Get a Bovril or a cup of tea. Warm yourself up. Get out on the terraces.
Plenty of noise for the Bromley boys.
Yep, plenty of noise. 1,400?
Yeah, I'm going to go around that mark. I'm going to say 1430, 1430. I feel obviously with the school of the day as well, a lot of people from Highfield are going to be coming down, which is amazing. And that will add to what should be a good crowd. Hopefully the rain stays away.
I think so.
It's obviously that puts people off, understandably. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. It should be a good game. I'm really looking forward to it. Moving on now, for those of you that are listening on Friday night, this is completely relevant, or before that even, we have our under-23s, or our professional development side, back in action tonight. That's Friday night before the Eastleigh game, 25th. Kick-off 8 o'clock on the stadium pitch. Entry's free for all supporters. I think if you're around, it's a great opportunity to come along and see some of the young talent that we've got at the club. They take on Chatham Town tonight, Cookie.
Yeah, so this is our guys in the final year of the academy.
Some have left, but yeah, stayed on with the under-23s.
There was a lot of talent, and I think obviously Bromley Football Club are a club that wanted to progress, and we was like, what do we do? So we decided to.
I am popular.
So we got a few people that was like, okay, what? How do we give these opportunities? We don't release them; they can't get into the first team yet. So that's what we can do. Danny Mills has taken over the under-23 side, and they've had a couple of issues, but they've been going all right. I'll say a couple of issues. The first game that they had, it ended up in a three red cards and a big scuffle on the pitch.
Yeah.
However, obviously a lot of players have mellowed out since then, and I think it even gives a chance for trialists to come through that people have recommended to Neil and Danny and see what they're like. So
and Neil comes and watches the games, doesn't he? He's keeping an eye on the young talent that's there.
And then it helps people like Reefy, who played a couple of weeks ago in the
Kent Senior Cup. Yeah, yeah.
So getting to see the opportunity of our youth players like that and being able to play them in competitions such as the Kent Senior Cup, I think it's a fantastic opportunity. And like Matt said, come down, you guys get to see the talent that Bromley has to offer for hopefully the future.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully a good performance from them and a win, and hopefully the same for us tomorrow. So obviously two football fixtures at Hayes Lane this Friday and Saturday. Do come along down and get behind the team. It does make such a difference to them, as Neil tells us week in, week out. And yeah, looking forward to both of those games very much.
That's it, Matt.
Yeah.
I think this wraps up the podcast.
I think that is
so
it, yeah.
We'll be back next week. There's been more of me this week. A bit less of Jeff. He had to rush off, unfortunately, down to a meeting. This is a thing with Bromley. It's a club with a small amount of staff, but we all have to do different things.
We're all on our toes.
From pillar to post. But obviously, thank you very much to Jeff for joining us. Matt, thank you for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening, guys. We said during commentary that you can listen to us, and we had the sound of our own voices, but the fact that you choose to listen to us is fantastic. Go on, Matt.
And thank you to Crown Ash Developments as well for their fantastic sponsorship of our podcast.
That's it. Took the words right out of my mouth. We'll be back next week, and we'll be discussing on that one, the result of the Eastleigh game, whatever happens.
Fingers crossed.
And we'll be talking about the under-23s, obviously, the result from the game against Chatham Town tonight.
And we'll be looking ahead to what follows.
We've got a break next week as well, haven't we?
We do, but there won't be a break for the podcast. Don't worry, guys.
No, that's it. So, guys, thank you very much for joining us. And we'll be back next week. You're probably